My name is Jennifer. Thank you so much for having me here today. I'm going to give an update on the Library Commons project, what it's what it will look like, what services are going to be there, where we're at in the campaign. And also with me is Suzanne Butler, who is the Foundation Board President. But I wanted to start with a video that was created for the groundbreaking ceremony that gives a nice highlight of the project. I love that video. It does such a good job. A lot of familiar faces in that video, hopefully, to most people. And I think it just shows the pride that has gone into making this project come to life. We'll go to the next slide, talk about the community impact. So Isaac, the library director, talked about how with an outdated building, there's outdated services, but the library team has done incredible work in the current facility. During 2020, they did a full restructuring and really focused on community outreach because they understood that with the current facility, we couldn't bring everyone in. So there's a full outreach team that goes out. In 2022, they had over 500 events and programs offered out in the community throughout the year. So they're very busy. They go to all the before and after school programs, preschools. They host library hosts events to engage with the Latino community. And just offer different services outside, but then also are doing more programming like story time. Over the summer, they averaged about 70 people at their story times in the teeny tiny children's library. Suzanne brought in a new program called Trials by Flavor. So there's so many fun things that even though the library staff, they don't let the limitations of their current facility stop them from doing great work. A new program they also started with the Mount Vernon School District is offering every Mount Vernon School District student a membership to the library. And so it doesn't matter what your address is, if you're in city limits or not, you have access to the library. So it's really exciting. So next one. Oh, and then last year, that's perfect. Last year, there's over 100,000 visits to the library, and they're expecting that to go up to 150,000 visits in the new facility. So, great. So, the old building, I'm sure most people have been into the current library. It was built in the 50s, and then in the 90s, it went through a pretty big renovation, but with the cost to remodel is just so high that in the early 2000s, it was decided that there was a need for a new library, and that actually was started with Sonia Beard, who left a very generous legacy gift for a new library. Yeah. All right, so the goals of this new library, so it's a library commons, and they talked about it a bit in the video. So not only is it going to be a library, but it's also going to have a conference center. So the conference center there's a lack of meeting space in Skagit County, so the conference center is set up so it can have 200 people at round tables. It also opens up into an overflow into the lobby for an extra 80 people at round tables. So in seating like this, the capacity is a little bit higher, but it also has a wall that can divide it so you could have two smaller rooms. And there's also going to be I'll get into that. So that the lack of meeting space is how the commons came about. And one of the best parts of this new library is it's going to have the largest children's library north of Seattle. Yeah, so, and yes, it's really great. It's important. So Currently, 60% of the library's business comes from the children's library. Nationwide, the average is about 40%. So they have done a really good job engaging youth in our community. So we deserve the largest children's library. All right. So here's the floor plan. I'm going to take this off so I can kind of point. Let's see. Okay, so the top up there, that is Kincaid. So right across the street is the courthouse. So there's an entrance on the northwest side by Red Apple that will go straight into the library. So we'll have a larger collections book collection area here. Right here is going to be the Sonia Beard quiet reading room. That was her wishes when she left the gift. There's going to be study rooms available for people to rent out. Right here is a computer lab, so it will have computers available, but also places for people to bring their laptops to plug in and do some work. And then we have a teen center. So this will have the teen book collection, but it will also have a STEM center as well. So we just bought a new 3D printer to teach kids how to do the CAD and other programs. They're looking at partnering with the college and different organizations to bring in some of that STEM education. Over here is, right here is the circulation desk, so staff area. And then this whole area right here is the children's library. So one of the nice things, I have young kids. What I really value about this is that there is a wall with a door, so it's completely closed off because children in a library, it should be vibrant and loud, and they should be able to act as children and not have to bother others who want the quiet reading area. Also, right now, the little toddlers are always running out, so it's a safety thing as well. There's also their own bathroom. This is a very well thought out space. So it's essentially a library within a library. There is the books, the shelving for books. This will be the new story time play area, an arts and craft area, and then places, a reading corner, and then also places for parents to hook up their laptops and come and work while their children have a safe place to learn and play. So, real exciting. So then, this is the hallway. There's an interpretive display center. This is going to be the Sky Reichendorfer Interpretive Display Center. His wife, Sally, so Sky is a former mayor, and his wife, Sally, wanted to honor him and his legacy, and so they're working on doing a naming opportunity for this. So it will, once a quarter, once a month, be a different display. The first display is going to be the history of Mount Vernon, which will be really fun, and then we'll see what's next. So this hallway, bathrooms are here, connects over to the commons area, the conference center. It has its own entrance over here, so if the library is closed, they can shut off the doors so people can still access the conference center and not the library, and vice versa. So as I mentioned, this is the large meeting space that will fit 200 people at round tables, and again, the wall, a little meeting room, and then another really fun, exciting part is a kitchen. So not only is this going to be a kitchen for catering for large events, but it will also host programs like Suzanne's Trial by Flavor, and then people who are looking to start their own business, cooking business, can rent it out and use it. So lots of uses with this. So, and then the next slide is the parking. So this was talked about in the video, the part of the parking and economic impact. So some people drive by and think, wow, that's a really big library. Well, it's a library on the bottom and then three stories of parking above. There currently is 76 EV charging stations. That makes it the largest public charging station in the country, which is, I always say for now, because it's a lot. So that, having the EV charging stations, one, it's forward thinking, but it also opened up a lot of funding opportunities for the building. It also is set up for all 269 spaces to become EV charging stations. Yeah. So we're working with HKP Architects, and part of the city's values and their values was, not only are we building it now to meet community needs, but also being very forward thinking. It's going to be a 75 to 100 year facility. So what can we, how can we invest now to make sure it continues to serve our community? There also will be 9 e-bike lockers. So people that have their e-bikes can come lock it up. And I believe they charge as well. So next slide. So it was talked about the energy efficiency of this facility. So Julie Blazik, the head architect, talked about it in the video, it being a passive house. So state standards right now is a LEED certification for energy efficiency. Some people are aware of that. Passive house building certification is one step above it. So it's a truly energy efficient building. Passive house, and Julie mentioned, it's an envelope. It essentially has an exterior wall and then an interior wall. So it helps keep temperatures consistent, air quality stays high, and temperature, and then sound. So it's on a busy road, so the sound will be, it's very quiet in there. One thing making it the passive house is when we have our smoky season or when it gets too cold, it can be a place for people to come be able to be comfortable. So the emergency shelter. And then next slide talks about energy use intensity. This is like way above my head, but the current facility right now, the EUI is 66. Current Washington State Energy Code is 47, and it is anticipated that the new Library Commons will be a 12. So very, very efficient. Yes. Okay. Next slide. So this project is $53.3 million. And a lot of that has to do with building it as a passive house. Mayor Boudreau mentioned in the video that the saving costs in energy will pay for itself within the first 10 years. Also, with building it passive, having the parking, it opened up a lot of funding for state and federal grants. So over over $50 million has come in through state and federal funding, which is great. So then the last $3 million is up to the foundation and the community. So we started a $3 million capital campaign, and we are about halfway there, which is really exciting. Next slide. So the timeline for this building, it all started back in 2010 when Sonia left the gift for a new library. Over the years, the city did a lot of feasibility studies to see where the new library should be, what should be included, and through that, there is a needs assessment that not only do we need a library, downtown needs parking. It's part of their larger economic development plan. First was to build the flood wall, now add parking, and then once there's more parking, it opens up opportunities for developers to come and build either like a boutique hotel or more housing, which is desperately needed. So the groundbreaking ceremony was September 2022, and we are now anticipated for a grand opening of late spring, early summer 2024, which is real exciting.